I urge you, at this moment of national emergency, to stay at home, protect our NHS and save lives.
On the 22nd of March 2020, 54 people died of coronavirus. The next day, the UK went into its first national lockdown. When it began, people like me and you all adhered to the tightest restrictions, from wearing masks to staying at home. However, there are many who refuse to do so.
I don't actually think this virus requires any of these drastic measures that are in place right now. I think it's very similar to flu, should I say. If you're already sick or you're near death, it's not good.
I am Chelsea Abbott, and I have investigated these protesters' claims in the perspective of the people who have witnessed it.
It's not real! You are participating in fraud! Act crimes against humanity! Crimes against humanity!
COVID protesters began to appear across the country in June 2020. As lockdowns increased, they formed small gatherings in cities from Birmingham, Manchester, and even Lincoln. Eventually, they became bigger, criticising the government's rules and scientific information about coronavirus. But what specific areas were they protesting? Travis, who wished to keep his full identity anonymous, is part of a 13,000-person group called the Great Reopening.
I don't actually think this virus requires any of these drastic measures that are in place right now. I think it's very similar to flu, should I say. If you're already sick or you're near death, it's not good, just like the flu. But most people are going to be totally fine, especially children. The idea of testing children all the time, I think, is insane.
Away from the virus itself, Travis also believes the government are making money from the pandemic.
Perhaps some part of the government are making a lot of money out of this, which they are, and it's not even a conspiracy. Whittier Valiant has shares in this vaccine company, and it's like, how is that not a conflict of interest? People are making a hell of a lot of money. They just happen to be in crucial parts of our government, whilst a huge part of the population is suffering over a virus which 99% of people will survive, and if you die, you probably weren't in a good place anyway.
This group, among others, are adamant about fighting these claims. They are both widely found on social media, developed in undercover and unmonetized groups like Telegram, and have been placing posters and stickers around the UK spreading incorrect facts. A key point of protest for the Great Reopening has been the shutdown of businesses.
We think, they could have been open and it wouldn't have been such an issue. And a lot of places, even if you look at the official numbers for a lot of the things going on, there wasn't much of a transmission of cases, and there was no good reason, it seemed, to shut down these businesses.
And these claims could be in the minds of others as well. Local businesses were one of the most affected by the national lockdown, with redundancies, shutdowns, millions of pounds lost, and unsupportive government schemes such as Eat Out to Help Out. They are still expected to have a huge struggle to recover. I went to the Golden Eagle in Lincoln and spoke to pub owner Tyler Hall.
There's so many different guidelines, and the rules have changed that often that you don't know whether you're coming or going half the time. Financial side of things for us, obviously, being a pub, the help that we got from the government may as well have not happened at all. We got a grant over Christmas of £1,000, but what the government failed to realise is that £1,000 is usually what you'd sometimes take on a day in December.
Tyler and Travis agreed on the struggles that businesses have faced. However, Tyler believes her business can be opened because they can keep people safe from contracting COVID. Travis, on the other hand, is against COVID guidelines and also struggles to believe its existence. Tyler's thoughts were mimicked when MPs debated on the earlier reopening of businesses in January. Many voted for, however, it did not get passed in Parliament. Businesses believe they were unfairly treated by the government.
We should have been allowed to have stayed open throughout the whole of it, because the guidelines that we had in place and protocols that we had to follow, I just think that we were the safest out of everybody. You can go to the pub, sit down at a table, be served at that table, no wandering around. You've got to wear a mask, you've got to do the track and trace. or you can go to Asda's and touch everything that everybody else has touched. For me, the pub was one of the safest places you could be.
Even though businesses and protesters may agree on some matters, businesses like the Golden Eagle did not open their doors until lockdown allowed. This was May of 2021.
Money is tight now, things are going up in price. Obviously, we have got years and years and years to try and catch up on because we've been shut for over a year now.
Against the demands to reopen by the Great Reopening, it seemed businesses weren't that convinced to go against COVID ruling. One place where you may not assume COVID rules would be broken is the hospital. However, staff and visitors have been somewhat bad at following the rules. Hospital Administrator Lexi Hammond experiences those who are reluctant to follow regulations.
We know it's quite a few different people not following the rules correctly. Just simple things like taking the apron off first rather than the gloves, not wearing gloves when pushing around patients in wheelchairs. We always challenge when we see anything like that, and we also have infection control guardians who also report them into the system too.
However, hospitals haven't seen a huge amount of reluctance, not in comparison to shop workers. They have experienced people refusing to wear masks nor keep a 2 metre distance for the entire pandemic. Protesters have helped fuel this, especially with the introduction of fake COVID documents. Moving away from the visitors and to the patients, the virus has had a horrendous impact on many lives and families. 128,000 people have died from COVID, even with Boris Johnson's restrictions. But protesters believe these numbers are wrong.
I mean, even if you look at the current statistics of what they're putting out there with this faulty test, the deaths are nothing. More people are probably dying, falling off their chair per day in England right now. And on Saturday and Sunday, 10 people died a day of COVID with these faulty tests in the past 28 days having a positive test of COVID.
Travis's statistics are incorrect. 59 people died from COVID across those 2 days, and 4,225 cases were recorded by the government. Samantha Morgan-Lister is a clinical practitioner and A&E doctor who said that COVID-19 is consistently changing as we learn more and more.
So whilst the public thought the main symptoms of COVID were persistent dry cough, temperature, shortness of breath, we actually were looking at other presentations of COVID, especially in the young, where it was just pure tiredness that they were getting, the 18 to 21 year olds. And then children were getting these weird rashes and weird blisters on their feet and nothing else. And they were testing positive. So whilst the rest of the population were, you know, intent on thinking, I don't have it because I don't have a cough. Us, we were learning day by day.
Samantha works at hospitals in Lincolnshire, which have been claimed to be empty by protesters on several occasions. Lincoln County Hospital in particular has faced two critical incidents from lack of staff and overhaul of COVID patients. Samantha believes that the detrimental impact of COVID will keep doctors on their feet.
In the beginning, we had all the COVID patients, and that then caused all the other services to either close completely or slow down horrendously. Okay, so now we don't have people filling up COVID, special COVID hospitals. We still have COVID wards and we're still having COVID infections. Intensive cares are no longer overrun by COVID patients. However, all those months of not seeing general surgery, orthopedics, neurology, all of those patients, we're in a backlog, a massive backlog. So, okay, maybe COVID pressure is less, but now we have this backlog of trying to catch up with millions of people.
Overall, the lack of COVID cases as well as claims of empty hospitals isn't seeming to be true. The impact has been overwhelming, with huge amounts of deaths wrapped in misinformation and misunderstanding of how complex COVID is. And now the NHS may find more issues after a 4.7 million backlog of hospital treatment. Moving forward in time, protests have continued across the country. A month before Boris Johnson laid out the UK's roadmap of lockdown, the Great Reopening alongside national groups protested in London. Their claims still stayed the same, with the Great Reopening asking businesses to reopen themselves against COVID ruling on the 20th of March. People also mixed, refused to wear masks, nor kept a 2 metre distance. But with all of this, COVID rates have fallen.
The first coronavirus vaccine has been approved for use in the UK.
This has been manufactured by the US pharmaceutical company Pfizer and its partner BioNTech.
The UK has authorised the use of the AstraZeneca and Oxford University vaccine, marking the first national approval for this immunisation.
The number of people in England estimated to have COVID-19 has dropped 40% in just a week.
Over 38 million people in the UK have received a COVID vaccination. These groups, however, have made numerous claims that they are dangerous, from ingredients such as aborted fetuses to allegations that they can make you magnetic. Luke Sutcliffe helped create the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine.
As far as I'm aware, there is nothing worrying in the ingredients. The reactions which you're getting are usually down to individual reactions, yeah, and every vaccine is going to have different people will react differently too. Yeah. I don't know all the ingredients. You will not know every single ingredient because that's down to each company deciding what they put in there.
Another claim is that the vaccine has caused deaths in the UK. However, this is not true, with the closest and most dangerous side effects being blood clots.
The AstraZeneca version was giving blood clots, but then when they assessed it, they were not sure exactly if the blood clots were actually down to the vaccine, because sometimes assessing exactly the side effects is hard to do. What you usually find with vaccines is that you see a population with a response. Now, they've given AstraZeneca and Pfizer into the population, they've monitored it, and they've had side effects, but the side effects numbers have been low in comparison to the number of vaccines administered.
The protesters against vaccinations are believed to be fear-mongering. However, it is expected that there will be anti-vaxxers, just as there has been throughout all time. With Boris Johnson's aims to get the entire country vaccinated quickly, though, these protesters may begin to struggle. With all these arguments, could it be found that protesters are spreading misinformation? Travis was unable to answer, but from our previous conversation, it could be believed he would disagree. However, we did ask some of the other speakers in this piece.
Be careful if you are one, because you need to get your facts straight. Unfortunately, with anything, when you're really passionate about something, you often don't see the forest for the trees. And there is some very good evidence out there about COVID-19, how it was found, where it's come from. We're still learning as well, which plays right into the anti-vaxxers, because they'll say, well, you don't have all the information. Of course we don't. It's still ploughing its way across the universe.
The problem with a lot of the protesters is that a lot are misinformed and don't read the right information. There's a problem that there's a lot of information out there on COVID, which, from what I could see, is not correct. So that's where I think there's a bit of a problem with the anti-COVID protesters, that I think some of them have been misinformed.
I have to stick to the rules, otherwise I lose my licence, I lose my pub. So the rules are the rules and you have to stick to them.
If you are ever confused about COVID ruling, be sure to check the official government or NHS websites for more information. Chelsea Abbott, Simon Radio.